Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Seller Performance Solutions. This is Chris McCabe of eCommerce Chris. Leah will not be joining me this week. She is getting ready to go out to Vegas for the Prosper Show. She's giving a talk this year on compliance strategies and identifying potential problems that are compliance related. So go see her on March 27th in Las Vegas at the Prosper Show. I will be there in our booth. If you're in the exhibitor hall, look for eCommerce Chris. I'll be there with Leah for some of it and some of it just flying solo. So thought I would fly solo for the podcast today to go through some of the things we're expecting to talk to people about in the booth at the Prosper Show. Certainly trends that we've identified this month and since the beginning of this year, and also questions that we typically get. Certain themes present themselves every time we go to the Prosper Show, which is every single year. I'm expecting to have questions, but also deep conversations about how to solve some of these types of problems. The best problem to have is the type that you never really run into in the first place, right? Avoidance of any excuse, any means of Amazon investigators taking your account down. Right now, more and more suspensions are dealt with as a dispute-only appeals path. What does that mean? It means they don't really ask for plans of action anymore, or POA for short. Some sellers, I've seen appeals that they write before they talk to us. Unfortunately, sometimes they send in several POAs before they talk to us. And then I look at the messaging from Amazon, and there's no request for a plan of action. They say, dispute this, prove to us that we got this wrong. Otherwise, don't appeal it, because we're not asking for an apology. We're not asking you for taking responsibility, and we don't want you back unless you can dispute it. Sellers, some of them at least, have been slow to understand that this has evolved, and this has changed in a very, very big way since Prosper Show 24. So I'm assuming that'll be a big topic this year. Unless there's a plan of action requested by Amazon, don't be drafting them. Don't be sending them in. It kind of dawned on me recently that some sellers are still doing it simply because they're scraping internet content with AI tools, other software to generate an appeal that's based on whatever they found online, wherever people posted content about successful appeals. The problem is some of that's really dated information, and their AI inputs or their copy and paste jobs aren't taking into account what Amazon's really looking for these days in an appeal and what they're definitely not looking for. So that's one of the big things I plan to talk to sellers about in our booth is, as every year people approach us and say, hey, can you take a quick look at my appeal? I've got it on my phone. This is what happened. This is what we wrote. Why do you think it got rejected? Lately, it takes me seconds to figure out why it's been rejected. Wrong format, misunderstanding of the suspension. They didn't do the research to figure out why they were suspended. They did maybe some token asking around, maybe a token call to account health services, things like that. Seller support cases. Lower tier Amazonians who don't really have the authority to reinstate them, but also don't really have the background knowledge or intel to find out what was really behind the suspension. Sellers like to believe what Amazon employees tell them, no matter what tier or level they are in the company. And sometimes they base appeals on that bad info. So bad info leads to bad appeals, which lead to, of course, bad rejections and denials. And then it gets really bad when you get denied over and over. So one message I'm going to be telling people this year is, you know, please, please, please don't keep appealing the same way over and over. I know I say that on various LinkedIn posts, podcasts, YouTube videos, and so forth, but I still see it happening all the time. Just like I still see people writing a plan of action, admitting that they fouled something up or they made mistakes. And sometimes that's not even the case. They just think they have to say those things to get their listing back or their account back. They admit to things that didn't even happen because they're copying and pasting from a template they found. You're only digging yourself in deeper when you do stuff like that. You could have a very solid, viable path to disputing a suspension. Many disputes work. They're successful. We hear from sellers who say, no, I tried the dispute, didn't work. And then I look at the dispute and it was very, very low quality content, which had no chance of succeeding, right? So a properly composed dispute probably would have worked. So we'll spend time in the booth talking about that as well. But when the dispute fails, then they started writing all these long plans of action or admitting mistakes that didn't happen, going for these old formats. I'm going to try to stop people from doing that, just as I'm going to try to stop them from getting suspended for product review manipulation. This is not as trendy right now, but as you've probably heard, the FTC is constantly keeping an eye on Amazon sellers, Amazon-related services, anyone who's trying to inflate positive product reviews and mislead buyers, mislead consumers. The government is still interested in this topic. They've drawn Amazon into this, so Amazon's motivated to suspend any sellers who are trying to pad their reviews. I'm still seeing wacky content out there about, well, this is a gray area way of padding your reviews, or this is something that they can't detect as easily. Might be solicitation using inserts in product packaging. It could be different Instagram messages that they blanket people with. It might be the so-called warranty card, which then you start hitting them with requests to leave your reviews, maybe giving discounts or maybe even including gift cards or contests or raffles. I'm still seeing people trying these things. I'm not sure why. There's been so many account suspensions for that. And these get harder to resolve as time goes on. Some people have even been caught before and they've been told by Amazon, we will reinstate you one more time. This is your last chance. They had a dip in sales. They had some other problems in terms of revenue generation or reclaiming their sales rank. And then they went and did basically the same technique, but using different tactics, different methods, but in artificially inflating their product reviews and maybe a short-term sales bump. But their account went down shortly thereafter. And really, the only thing I say is you reoffended. If you're put in the reoffender bucket by Amazon, all bets are off. Don't expect to get your ASINs back. Don't expect to get your account back. Sometimes you can weave an appeals path through. You can do some high-level strategizing. You can ask around internally to people who might want to lobby for you and who are interested in seeing your brand grow. Maybe they'll get credit for growing it. Different teams have different motivations, right? If Amazon's interested for their own selfish reasons, then maybe they will give you another chance. But that's high-level strategy. That's not just, oops, sorry, didn't mean to do it again. I hope you'll take my apology. Here's my plan of action or whatever you plan to send in. Same as blaming employees or blaming rogue VAs or blaming rogue services. Amazon doesn't want to hear that stuff anymore. I know in early 2024, they were still accepting some appeals for my employee screwed up. We fired them. Here's the termination letter. We're sorry. We'll never do it again. I mean, that's 12 months ago, and a lot has happened in the last 12 months. So I can guarantee you this conversation will be coming up in Vegas next week. But I'm still kind of amazed that people aren't keeping a closer eye on third-party service providers. They just sort of push a wad of cash in their direction and say, go off, do what we want you to do. Don't tell me how you do it. I mean, that's ancient Amazon. That doesn't work now. You will be held responsible for what any consultant does. If you've got consultants doing crazy stuff on a bunch of other accounts and they get their own seller account suspended or they get one of their customers' accounts suspended and you look related to one of their customers, then maybe your account will be blocked for related. So you also want to have best practices around vetting service providers and figuring out how they access other accounts, if they've ever been blocked for related or if they've ever lost their own seller account. These are issues we don't deal with at eCommerce Chris because we don't have seller accounts. But others aren't being quite as careful, and there's a lot of loose practices going on. And Amazon tends to punish you for any lack of discipline. If you make life a hassle for them or you give them additional work to do, they're going to punish you for making it so that they have to keep looking in their tools and looking at why your account continues to be flagged for relations to another account. Even if you successfully dispute it once, it could come back around again. So you have to make sure that you maintain all best practices, whether it's employees who have their own seller accounts, whether it's VAs, and you have no idea who a lot of these VAs are working with, probably. In a lot of cases, they are signing into other seller accounts. Some of those accounts may even be suspended, or they might have their own seller account suspended, right? That's what I'm talking about when I'm speaking with people about not being too liberal with user permissions, not upping the risk to their account, because selling in 2025 is difficult enough as it is without tripping yourself up with basic mistakes in terms of working with the wrong agency, working with the wrong service provider of any sort, making yourself look like you're sloppy with your internal account security, you're sloppy with how you message buyers or how you request, or even you're sloppy with your inventory management. Maybe some items are close to expiration and you say, well, they're not going to expire for a while, but you don't actually know how close to expiration they are. Before you know it, buyers start complaining, hey, I know this doesn't expire till 2026, but I bought it in 2025. I'm not sure I'm going to use it right away. It's too close to expiration. I want a refund. This is a complaint that we hear and see a lot. They show up as safety complaints. If it's a consumable or something that's ingested, health hazard type language in the complaints, or simple expired item complaints. These might just be ASIN level. They might start as something small, but if you just sit around and hope it'll fall off your account health in 180 days, a lot of things can happen in those 180 days. You shouldn't just wait. You shouldn't just sit there and be stuck analysis paralysis style, thinking we're not sure what to do, so we're not going to do anything. You have to counter these performance notifications, protect your account health. Again, this is a huge topic. We talk to people about it every year. But in the last 12 months, I've seen many more account suspensions that stem from single ASIN deactivations that were never resolved. Or the ASIN wasn't even deactivated, but Amazon asked for an appeal on a specific ASIN, and they just got a very substandard, maybe template written or AI bot generated appeal that they didn't take seriously. And then the seller didn't try after that. But for whatever reason, the issue was completely left unresolved. Before they knew it, they got a call from an account health rep saying, well, you're in an account health assurance program, so that's good. That means you have 72 hours to send us an appeal. By the way, if the appeal is sent in 72 hours and we don't like it, the whole account gets suspended. So, fundamental mistakes that can be avoided so that you don't show up at a conference like the Prosper Show saying, by the way, I got suspended this week, which back in the days when I was doing their seller performance panel, at the end of that 1 hour, I think it was 4 to 5 p.m. every year that they did it, there would be a bunch of people who came to the stage and said, we got suspended in the last few days or in the last week. You don't want to be one of those people. Amazon's experimenting and tinkering with how they answer appeals, how they review appeals, how much AI is being used, how much are they experimenting with. Well, it hasn't quite been baked yet. It's still in the oven, right? We're seeing lots of oversights and mistakes and gaps in that process. So you want to reduce to a very small number the odds of Amazon misunderstanding something on your detail page, misunderstanding something you write in an appeal, misunderstanding any assessment of your performance that could lead them to a suspension action, because it is going to take them longer to respond now. You are more likely to get a copy and paste answer that doesn't really tell you anything. If you misinterpret that, then you just start kind of spinning and chasing your own tail. And you don't want to be in that, flat spin heading out to sea, because that takes time to fix and correct. And some people are panicking, sending in crazy escalations to Jeff. Jeff doesn't read them anymore. He's not there. They send escalations all over the place that aren't very well written. And I only say that because I've been doing this every day for 10 years, but also because we know the difference between a quality escalation and a poorly written one. If you're sending a badly put together escalation to anybody in senior management or even people like S team executives, they're not going to take it seriously. You're burning appeals paths to no real purpose. So I'm sure we're going to be answering endless compliance escalations. Leah will be all over those, answering those questions. I'm sure I'll be answering all sorts of account reinstatement and ASIN reinstatement escalation questions. If you're not in Vegas, if you don't come to our booth at the Prosper Show, my parting words of advice for this week at least would be think before you send, think before you write it. Don't borrow content from other places. Don't take shortcuts. Take it as seriously as Amazon takes it. If Amazon's taking your account suspension more seriously than you are, it means they're taking your entire business more seriously than you are. And if you're not taking your Amazon business seriously, then maybe you're in the wrong area, the wrong racket, and it's time to start doing something else. I hate to say it that way, but given some of the low-quality content I've been seeing shoveled around or passed around or shared between people lately, I understand panic creates hasty moves, and all I can say is haste makes waste, and panic doesn't really pay the bills. So, questions on this, obviously, follow us on Instagram and YouTube and ask us. Of course, you can email support@ecommercechris anytime. Thanks again for listening to Seller Performance Solutions. I will be back next week. And if you're going to be in Vegas at the Prosper Show, look us up. We'll be in booth 563. See you soon.